Welcome to On the Verge with Kara Bradley. Weekly blasts of no-hype advice and essential practices to settle down, show up, and shift from crazy busy to high-definition, high-voltage living. Hey, everyone. Thanks again for joining me. This week, I've got a story for you, a story that I've got to get out of my body before I lose my boldness. It's something that happened to me a few weeks ago on my way home from Rome. I was in Italy for a retreat I was running, and I had the most extraordinary experience on the flight home. So here it goes, before I lose my courage. On the flight from the Rome airport to JFK, we were approaching just a little bit west of Halifax, and some commotion started happening in the cabin, my cabin. So I was behind first class and business class, I'll just say that. And I looked up to notice that there were a bunch of people around the row on the opposite side of the plane, or the column, I guess you could say. Anyway, as I stood up and peeked up, I realized that there were a couple of people that were attending to a man, an older man, elderly man. And the cabin got very quiet. You could feel the stillness and the concern. And I was in a back row, and I stood up and looked, and I had to stretch my legs anyway, and a lot of people were standing and watching what was happening. There were three physicians helping to resuscitate an older man, and you could see the man, and I could see the man, and you can feel the tension in the air. And his wife or significant other was standing next to him watching as he sat. And you could tell at first they were trying to see if there was a blockage in his throat, if he had choked on something, you know, just typical CPR protocol. After about 10 minutes or so, they picked him up and put him down the aisle. And more people were coming and helping, and you can see the flight attendants, who were remarkably skilled, you know, in this type of emergency situation, brought in the defibrillator, and, you know, all this stuff was happening as we were all confined in this plane. It's not like they could tell us all to move away. We couldn't go anywhere, you know, so the silence in the plane was extraordinary. The silence, you could feel people praying. I get a little choked up just even talking about this. You could feel us all just in it together, you know, sending blessings to the woman, sending blessings to the gentleman who was going through this, sending encouragement to the first responders, the physicians. Anyway, after some time, they continued to try to revive him. And you could see up on the screen, you know, the little map that shows you where you are in flight, which, by the way, I love to watch that map. It's so fascinating to me. But you could see the plane change course. And we were just approaching, I guess it's St. John's. You could see the plane start to turn slightly north. And I thought, all right, we're going to make an emergency landing to get this gentleman extra help. I had been on a plane once from China, and we stopped in Anchorage because somebody had had a heart attack. So I'd been on a plane before when we had to make an emergency medical landing. And so this is what, you know, we were all kind of whispering around us that we were going to be landing probably up in Nova Scotia. And so this continued to go on. It felt like forever. I'm sure it was only a matter of 20 minutes to a half hour. And I kept watching this one physician shaking his head. And I knew that perhaps this gentleman had passed away. And he had. And so at some point, you recognized that they had just stopped in the rescue because he had gone past the point, probably the point of no return. And I'm not a physician, so I can't even tell you what exactly went through their heads. But it was obvious at some point that the gentleman had passed away and that we were now looking towards supporting the woman. And again, you could feel the silence in the plane. You could feel the sadness, the incredible aliveness as well. After some time, they made the decision that they were going to have to move him. This gentleman was now laying in the aisle of the plane, of a full, huge jumbo jet flying across the Atlantic. And so a couple of people moved him. And I was right there. I saw them pick him up, the heavy weight of a dead body. And as gracefully as you could move a dead body, move him down the aisle. And they put him in the little hallway where all of the bathrooms are. So in these jumbo jets, you know, there's multiple bathrooms, usually separating, you know, the cabins. And so they put him there, and I'm sure they covered him. And they also put these heavy drapes down either side to, you know, so that people weren't looking at this dead body for the next 3 hours. And we also saw the plane shift course once again towards New York. It was just so ominous. It was just so beautiful. It was so paralyzing and so alive in the same breath. I just couldn't believe that in one moment, this man and this woman were sitting together, either coming from Rome and going home or going on a trip. I didn't know the circumstance. I didn't know their nationality. And so for a while, everybody just sat very quiet. I was just a row in front of the bathrooms. I had a wonderful seat, I have to tell you. It was probably the worst seat in the plane, but regardless, I was right there, a seat away from a gentleman that had just passed away. And for a while, everybody was just very quiet. I don't think anybody knew what to do. I mean, do you start watching the movie again? Do you start reading? Do you start talking? I think even the physicians, the flight attendants, it's like, do we start, food service again? What do we do? And we stayed like that in this incredible presence for an hour. I would say about an hour. There were no drinks. There was nothing. We just all sat, I would imagine, in our own experience of our own lives and our relationship with death, our relationship with life, our relationship with our loved ones. And, I have elderly parents. It was extraordinary, we were held in this plane, right? We couldn't escape. We had to face what just happened. Every single one of us on that plane faced life and death. It was a row behind me. The reality of impermanence of our lives was a row behind me, between the bathrooms. Holy crap. And slowly, after about an hour, you could feel the rustling of life. You could feel people start to breathe again. You could feel people start to get back to their lives. And slowly, people started to talk. People started to move around. They got up to stand in line for the bathroom. And then the flight attendant announced, "We will start our food service. Once again, please clear the aisles." And there were the carts. And there were the flight attendants that had just tried to revive a man, pushing the cart down and serving the Diet Coke. You know, it was so striking how life goes on. And I think, you know, we all were shifted. There's no doubt. And we all felt sort of awkward, you know, ordering the soda and the water and eating the snack and looking out the window and thinking about what was going to happen when we landed. I know for me, it shifted me. It was this enclosed opportunity to sit with death, to sit with life. Whew. And so my takeaways, I mean, I've been vibrating, I've been sensing, I've been sitting with this situation for the last few weeks. One of my takeaways from my flight, from this flight that changed my life, that changed so many lives, that took away a life, that shifted us all, is that our lives are precious. Oh my. Our lives are so precious. We have no idea what is going to happen next. I think if we can remember that over and over, we have no idea. There is no fixed point. There is no later that we can count on happening. There is only now. There is only this breath. When we can continue to remind ourselves there is only this breath, it shifts us. It shifts me in a way to say, why am I holding back? Why am I holding back anything? Why am I curtailing my situation? Why am I being so careful with my life? Why am I not speaking the truth? Why am I not asking for what I need? Why am I not showing up fully? Why am I holding back? I have no idea what is going to happen tomorrow. You know, those two people that got on the plane had no idea that their lives would forever be shifted. One life would end, the other life would change. Why do we hold back? I ask myself that. I've been asking myself every day. I've been remembering that situation every day, every moment in some ways. What are your passions? What makes you feel awake? What makes you feel alive? Why not lean into those passions? How are you being called to connect with others? How are you being called to create? How are you being called to contribute to this world? To leave your mark on this world in a small way, in a big way? Who knows? But can you show up every day and remember that you have no idea what is coming next? And because you have no idea, it is a reminder to wake up right now. It is a reminder to show up in this moment on the verge, right? That's the whole basis for my teaching, to live on this verge, in this moment, because we have no idea what's coming next. I hope that this story in some way can poke you, prod you, awaken something in you to say, wow, I am holding back. I'm holding back in speaking my truth. I'm holding back in really showing up and going for it. I'm holding back in taking this risk or moving into this area or connecting with this person or creating this. I'm holding back in contributing. And what will it take today for me to just take that next step forward, to just lean into my life a little more, to make myself available to live more fully. What is it going to take in this next moment for me to show up and shine? I live with this every day. I've been living with it every day since that flight that changed my life, since that situation, that experience with life and death on a plane with a couple of hundred other people. And I'm sure you've had your own flights like that, your own experiences. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe it's waiting for you around the corner. So let's use this, the precious life that was extinguished that day, to help us remember how to live. We can use death to remember to show up fully. So thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing me the space to just let it rip, to just give you this experience of my life in a way that's uncensored, uncensored life experience. I encourage you to show up. I encourage you to risk. I encourage you to speak your truth and to just lean into life. Because when you do that, you give others permission to do it as well. Let's all do it together. Let's all just be bold. Why not? Thanks again. Have an awesome day.
If you're feeling fired up from this episode, please share it with a friend. And review this podcast on iTunes and Google Play. And help me help more folks show up for their high definition, high voltage life.